Talking Head, China and India. I do have a secret mission that somehow has been ordained to me coming down from high above on the shoulders of this humble self who is here by his own humble way trying to ignite it, knowing very well it depends on the cooperation of many noble and learned people to accomplish, and it is to bring about friendship between India and China. A decade ago or something, a little bit more, I was in Beijing and met with this man, Professor so-and-so, of the university, that I got to learn and meet through a common friend. This very nice lady who was then a top producer in for cultural programs at CCTV, the Chinese National Television, and we were sitting in a restaurant and she understood that I had connections with India, Indian culture and philosophy, and dialed a number and handed it over, her phone over to me, and that professor here was on the phone. He's a Sanskrit professor and had lived in a Tibetan monastery studying, was very interested in Tibetan Buddhism, and also then of course the Vedic philosophy and culture which Tibetan Buddhism borrows a lot from. So we met and I asked him, what do you see as your mission in life? And he said, it is to bring about friendship between China and India on the cultural and philosophical level. Politically and financially, we can probably forget about, he said, and laughed. And I said, wow, this is just the mission I felt some or other that I have, because we were there trying to get a job for the Swedish television together with some journalists, friends of mine, and video production companies. To produce parts of an upcoming series, documentaries about China that they were planning the coming autumn, which we of course didn't get because the pilot, so to speak, that we produced and used as our pitch was probably too positive about China. Because we found a lot of good things going on there, which you, as it seemed, were not allowed to talk about in the Swedish television. In fact, when I was going around there in Beijing and other cities over China, interviewing people and filming, I met this German lady, sinologist, on a trade fair representing Siemens and the German government. And she told me how she had journalist friends working for Der Spiegel and other top magazines in Germany who came here to China, found a lot of good things going on, wrote articles about that, got their articles refused or modified by their managers, bosses. And there you had it, a standard mainstream, politically acceptable article out for the readers. But which simply didn't neither represent what the journalist who had been there wrote, but what was actually going on there. So this is an awesome German lady told me that, and anyway, I thought friendship between China and India on the culture and philosophical platform sounds great. And through that same TV producer, we also got a couple of meetings with this lady, Yudan, who then also came to Sweden, as we see here, to promote her new book about Taoist, or was it Confucian philosophy, a bestseller in China. We saw her all over the media when we were there. I got an interview with her, very nice lady, and part of a, again, top-level group of academics who were working on, this lady got famous because she explained the old classical Chinese philosophical literature like Confucianism and Taoism, not in the standard patriarchal way, men-centered, but from the perspective of a woman, which made her really popular and, you know, among ordinary people. So we stood there and interviewed people standing in line for 5 hours to get their book signed by her. And then when we met her in Stockholm some years later, she revealed that she had just been to India. And then we can put the clip there with her. She took part in the Kumbh Mela festival, blah, blah, blah. At the same time, hey, you're all to have a Hare Krishna. Yep. Eftersom Adit berättar sitt liv kan jag berätta mitt. Så kör vi den här storyn. Okay, bara så vi får med allting då. Vi kan sen köra den i Talking Head också. Jag kan använda i stort sett exakt det videomaterialet jag gjorde där under videon och kände ju och Tine. So I thought, you know, so many things happened back then. And there's this guy, or this Maharaj, he's a sannyasi who used to live in New Vrindavan back in the days. Now he's on his own. Tried to raise funds for developing a retreat, Vaishnava retreat out in the countryside in Colorado or whatever. So I somehow made friends with him on Facebook, and then he introduced me to some people in India, among others, this actress, Anuradha Patel, who I used to sit and play Scribble or whatever it was with online. And her friend, who then appeared to be a close associate of Amma, this guru, female guru who hugs people. So, you know, we thought that if there could be a meeting between Amma and Yudan, who really wanted to know more about India and meet Indian wise people and intellectuals, brahmanas, it would be a good idea, we thought, and then we wanted to be there. That was, of course, our interest at the same time, and film the whole thing and make a documentary about it. Now, either that lady never asked Amma at all. She said she did, told me, as far as I remember. Or Anna simply didn't. Wasn't interested. And I was at that time, this was 2012, or I don't remember exactly. I was walking around being angry at Indians because the Chinese are very interested in making friends with the Indians and are very interested in Indian philosophy and culture. Yudan said she just loved the peacefulness and in the morning in the temples. And she said, I was doing yoga, meditating. She loved it. So that, we thought, would be a nice way to start that friendship between India and China on the cultural and philosophical platform, as our professor had there also in his, as his goal. Now, he is friends with Yudan, and they are celebrities in China. Everyone knows them. When I sat talking with him, people came up and greeted him, and he's famous. And there was I, what to do? It's easy to say then that I'm just a nobody, what can I do? There's nothing. But the vision I told it på svenska, okay. Men vad jag tänkte var att om jag kan introducera honom till Vaishnava från akademisk nivå. Jag tänkte på Oxford, Vaishnava studies där. Och Indien, jag kan inte så mycket om det. Så skulle han säkert tycka det vore fantastiskt. Jag skulle vara tacksam och det kunde bli en väldigt fin dialog. Och jag, med den förståelsen jag hade skaffat mig om Kina och dagsläget i Kina, så skulle det vara realistiskt att starta ett vediskt kulturcenter i, kulturellt och filosofiskt center i Beijing. Därför att den här professorn är det han vill och han är enormt inflytelserik i Kina. Från en rik familj och han är rikskändis. Inte för att sjunga eller skådespela eller göra politik, men för sin akademiska intellektuella status. Så jag tänkte, det här vore bra. Och jag väntar fortfarande på en viss kinesisk gudbroder som har pratat om att åka dit. Och jag sa att när det finns någon och några vilka mycket väl skulle kunna mobiliseras från Krishna hängivna Vaishnava akademiska kretsar, men inte en hög amerikaner som kommer in drällande och ska starta någonting eget stort. Det bör göras från Indien. På ett väldigt korrekt och moget sätt på akademisk nivå. Så här står jag än idag. tänker att ja, det kanske jag skulle kunna fortfarande, eller om han fortfarande minns mig, få fram ett mejl till honom med ett sånt här förslag. Så får vi se vad han gör, men som vanligt. Så jag hamnar i sådana situationer där jag sen sitter och inser att jag själv inte kan göra mer, utan är beroende av andra än gymnasiets intresse att vara med och, eller ta över därifrån, vilket är i det här fallet. Så ja, det här är lite en av de saker som har hänt mig de senaste decennierna. More is coming.